This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Svetlana Lukova, the historian of The Spy Who Changed History and Spygate Exposed, to comment in follow-up to the revelation from the Durham investigation that there may have been compromising of the Executive Office of the President and other addresses associated with Donald Trump following his campaign during the time he was either president-elect or president. These are indistinct dates. It's a moving story. But you will all recall that John Durham, a week hence, a filing to do with whether or not there was a conflict of interest in the case that he's mounting against a lawyer, a prominent Washington lawyer, Michael Sussman, whether there may or may not be conflict of interest because of other law firms. However, in response to Mr. Durham's filing, we had a news story these last days, and Svetlana's here to comment on the response to John Durham bringing forth information about the law firms, but also about the fact that he has evidence to be introduced at trial that Michael Sussman was working for the Clinton campaign when he went to the FBI in September of 16 to say Donald Trump is linked in some fashion to Vladimir Putin. And when he went to the CIA, we believe it's the CIA, the second government agency, in February of 2017, we believe that Mr. Durham says he has evidence in trial to show that this information in some fashion was gathered from the Executive Office of the President and Donald Trump in some fashion. We don't have all of it, but we have this response from Michael Sussman. I read from the Washington Post report. The lawyer charged by special counsel John Durham with lying to the FBI when he passed along information about then-candidate Donald Trump has asked a judge to dismiss the case, saying that even if he did what Durham alleged, it was not a crime. This turns on legal matters of materiality, which is a very tough read for me, but it does say if you tell a lie, it doesn't matter if no one is harmed. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. Michael Sussman responds. It's not a weighty response. It's not a detailed response. It doesn't say that I didn't go to the FBI. It doesn't say that I didn't go to the CIA. It doesn't say that I didn't carry information that was gathered from perhaps surveillance of the president-elect and the president. It does say, however, it doesn't matter what I said because nobody was hurt. All right. What I would like you to observe is, do you believe that Sussman at this point has more to worry about than what he did in September and what he did in February, that he has to worry about the nature of the information he was passing on and where it came from? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me. The first thing, of course, is the materiality point, as you just brought up. It's a ridiculous point because obviously his lies were highly relevant because the FBI took actions as a result of what he did. So it's just, it's clearly not going to fly. There's been, a lot of legal opinion on that. It's not going to fly. So that's not going to happen. But you're absolutely right in terms of what else can come out. So at the moment, to remind your listeners, he's only charged, only, quote unquote, with lying to the FBI specifically about, when Sussman came to the FBI and said that, Donald Trump and his team had a secret communications channel with Russia and that he had evidence, to support it, he positioned himself as a cyber expert who, and that bit is true. He worked with the government before. In fact, he used to work for the Department of Justice. So he was a highly respected cyber expert. And when he brought the evidence to what he positioned as evidence to the government to say that that Trump is, there's this suspicious communication between Trump and Russia through this, Alpha Bank servers. What the two things he didn't tell the FBI is one is that he was representing Hillary campaign and Hillary was the opponent to and Hillary Clinton and so the political opponent of the person about whom he's making the complaints. And the second thing was that he was also representing this tech executive who actually commissioned and manipulated the data that made it look like, you know, Trump was communicating with Russia. So those two things are, or Trump's team was, Trump organization was communicating with Russia. So those two things, it's this huge, obviously, this huge difference between a good Samaritan, good citizen, especially an expert with prior, you know, good relationship with the government, you know, coming to, you know, help the government versus somebody who is paid for and working on behalf of and as an agent of a political opponent in the presidential election. So, of course, it's hugely material. There's no doubt about that. But then we go through what the actual data is that he provided. And that's the second step. And clearly the... at the moment, you know, the special counsel said that Sussman's behavior and potential criminality is still being assessed. So they specifically made it clear in the filing, they left the possibility that there will be further indictments against Michael Sussman on top of the charge of lying to this FBI. And the possibilities are whether or not the data that he provided was true, because obviously it was, you know, it was manipulated. And secondly, also his coordination with other people on the Hillary Clinton campaign and outside Hillary Clinton campaign. So there's clearly quite a lot of misconduct, and special counsel at this stage is leaving open the possibility that there will be further criminal charges brought against former lawyer for Hillary Clinton, Michael Sussman.
I want to go over the dates because there are important details here that we don't have, but I want to ask the questions correctly. Michael Sussman goes to the FBI September 19th, 2016. He goes to the CIA or other government agency, not named, but the presumption is CIA, February 9th. Between September 16th and February 9th, major things happen. The election. President-elect Donald Trump. President Donald Trump sworn in on January 20th. We do not have from Durham's filing, which was really about something else. It was about conflict of interest, but in it, he revealed these facts. We do not have from his filing what the Sussman information attached to. On dates. We don't know that. It might have all been information about Donald Trump's campaign. But we do have this one odd fact, and you'll help me on this, that not only was there information about Alpha Bank and a server that may have been attached to a Trump location, may have been marketing material, may have been something benign and foolish, but something about a Yoda phone. A Yoda phone being used in the proximity of the White House. The Durham filing goes out of its way to say Yoda phones used in the neighborhood of the White House 3 million times between 2014 and 2017. So here is the puzzle I have, is the special counsel pointing us to the fact that there were surveillance of the White House, the executive office of the president, after Mr. Trump became president, or during the time he was president-elect. He was not in Washington until the inauguration. He didn't take up residence until January 20th or thereabouts. So, how do you read these? We don't have it, but how do you reason the special counsel is arguing this case? Do we believe that his evidence to be presented at trial includes the possibility that the surveillance continued while Mr. Trump was president?
Correct, absolutely. And actually, in one of the filings, Mr. Durham's special counsel says, in the course of this effort, Tech Executive One, so this is Rodney Joffe, also exploited his own company's access to the sensitive data of a high-ranking executive branch office of the U.S. government, both before and after the presidential election. So the high-ranking office is the, this is from the earlier filing. So now he's named it, which is, it's the executive office of the president. And he specifically says before and after the presidential election. Now, what does that mean? So tech executive one, the man named Rodney Yaffe, just to take a step back, was a government contractor. So he was this IT expert, and he ran a company called Newstar. And that company had a government contract, including the GSA, et cetera. So basically, and Donald Trump had to use, both during the transition period and also during time of the office, government computers. And Rodney Yaffe, so he's tech executive one in the indictment, but New York Times confirmed, you know, his name. His job, or his company's job, was to look for vulnerabilities and help to secure government communications. So he was supposed to make sure that there's no hacks or anything like that. So he was given that sensitive government data. So it wasn't open data. It was data that the government possessed. It was given to Yaffe and his company Newstar only for the purposes to protect the government. And in especially, for example, in this case, is the White House and the executive office of the President of the United States. And Yaffe used this access, this special access, for the benefit of initially Hillary campaign, and later, you know, after Trump became president, you know, for other, you know, for the benefits of, you know, other people who were working against Donald Trump.
And that's the part that I just want to make sure I understand correctly. You believe that there's information here that points to the fact that the surveillance continued after Mr. Trump was elected, when he was president-elect, and after Mr. Trump became president. And
absolutely,
that information was gathered for what purpose? Because the campaign is over. So,
right.
Where does that information go? What, I mean, they're surveilling the addresses associated with the president-elect or the president of the United States. For whom?
So ostensibly they're doing it for they're saying they were given this access to the data of, you know, the internet, all the internet data from the White House, from the EOP, etc., in order to protect them. Right? In order to monitor for leaks or hacks or anything like that. So Yaffe is pretending as if he's using this data, he's collecting this data in order to protect the you know, president-elect and later the president and transition team and later.
All right. I've heard one wag say, Svetlana, I see the first thing you do after you find information that compromises the president is you run to the Democratic Party. It's very odd.
That's right. And this is what John Ratcliffe, for example, is talking about, is the criminality here, among other things, is that he was not giving this data in order to manipulate it for the opponents of the president-elect and then president. He was given the data to protect the government.
Yes.
So the data, so he has this access, and then so the first thing is he was using the data for other purposes, illegal purposes. And secondly, which makes it worse, he then manipulated the data. So it wasn't just spying. But what he did, and this is what the indictment shows, is he suppressed the data. So, for example, in regards to this, you know, Yaffe phones, they're saying that there was this network that was being accessed. But that network was being accessed, you know, since 2014, right, when Obama was president. But they suppressed the data showing that loads of people, you know, there was loads of instances of this network being used. And they only presented the data, which made it look as if Trump and his team had some kind of bad relationship with Russia.
Yes.
So first of all, they abused the data. You know, they gained this access, and secondly, they twisted it to make it look like something bad.
Let's turn to the politics of this, because there's more to the response to Mr. Durham's filing than Michael Sussman's attorneys complaining about materiality. I'm speaking with Svetlana Lakova, the Russian historian of the spy who changed history, and most recently, Spygate Exposed. and she's helping us sort through the completely confusing data that we're getting from the special counsel, from Michael Sussman, and from news reporting of these events over many years, and what we're next going to turn to from the candidate who was disappointed and unsuccessful in 2016, Secretary Clinton. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.